Consider now the trade-offs of supporting a family in poverty. Food or gas this month. Heat or rent this month. School or child care this week. Imagine parents saddled with such stark choices. Now consider if it is a child.
When I was in the 10th grade for the second time, my mom started asking me if I could stay home from school to watch the kids. If I said no, most of the money she would make would go to a babysitter. I failed every class that year.
Housekeeping and child care more urgent than an education for young high school student Jairo Gomez. Bitter memories that he discusses here with his mother.
Do you remember last year when I had to stay home to babysit? How do you think it affected my grades?
Yo creo que te afectó mucho, Jairo.
Academically, it affected you a lot. I did wrong in making you stay, but I didn't have an option. At the time, I sacrificed you. It was either good grades for you and you'd go to school, or we were going to suffer and lack necessities.
Growing up revealed to Jairo that what has always been normal for him was, in fact, being immersed in a daily trauma, the trauma of poverty, invisible to Jairo until, as part of a reporting project, he took an objective look at his family's situation.
I used to think of my family as middle class. We'd go out to eat a lot, and I could ask for clothes sometimes. But after my parents split up, my mom had four more kids, and that all stopped.
Do you think we're poor?
The truth is, I haven't looked it up in the dictionary, the word poor. To me, poor is when you don't have enough for soup or a roll of toilet paper.
What is poor? It's a question no child should have to answer. Jairo discovered that his family's income was well below the poverty line. He discovered that as part of a reporting project for WNYC's Radio Rookies. While he was protected from the poverty numbers as a child, he was not protected from the consequences in absenteeism and health risks. Daniel Cardinale is president of Communities in Schools, an organization that works to fight poverty by making safe places, sanctuaries for kids. It's a new idea, and it sounds hard, but Cardinale says it begins with simple mentoring, an adult making a safe place in the midst of hard times.
When you think about kids who are living in extremely difficult situations that poverty imposes on young people, one of the most important things is that there's an adult who is able to kind of manage not just their academic needs, but their whole story, what's going on in their family, what's going on in their neighborhood. Does this kid have an adult who thinks only about them and not managing the other effects of poverty that many of these kids' parents are trying to deal with? And so once that adult is in their lives and they can build a trusting relationship, kids open up. They begin to believe that there are possibilities. And when you provide sets of resources that enable them to really focus in on learning, their horizons open up and they begin to really see a possibility of going on to post-secondary attainment and really being able to get a job that will break the cycle of poverty and enable them to be self-sufficient as well as support their family and their kids.
And as crucial as the parents are in situations like this, what you write about and what your experience tells is that when the kids see how stressed the parents are in the poverty situation, it limits their ability to make the home a sanctuary like this classroom that you're describing can possibly become with the right adult.
That's exactly it, John. You know, I was listening to some of the work you all do with the Radio Rookies program, and I was listening to a story by Jairo Gomez, which is very much like what a Communities in Schools kid experiences. A high school student who's really put between very untenable choices, between focusing in on school and managing a very difficult home life where there are 11 people living in a one-bedroom apartment. And the pressure, the real pressure he feels to take care of his younger siblings because his parents are working, and also work where he's actually contributing to the family wage. And the fact that kids in poverty are often put in these very untenable choices, when we know one of the most important things for young people to be able to do when they are in school is give their all, be kind of open not just to mastering these skills, but beginning to incorporate them and imagine what their future can look like.
What kind of an adult, what kind of mentor, what kind of teacher, what kind of school administrator does it take to create that kind of a sanctuary when the stresses are so oppressive on the outside?
You know, we have the privilege of working in about 2,200 public schools across the United States and charter schools, and we work with about 1.3 million of the nation's poorest kids. And what we know is that the teachers and the principals and often the superintendents running those large systems are very much dedicated. They are passionate about educating children. And most of them have been trained academically to drive pedagogical and instructional leadership in the building at the principal level, or teachers with new strategies on differentiated learning and student-centric learning strategies. What they aren't trained to do is to use the community as a resource. So by having a site coordinator that CIS trains and certifies nationally as a partner, what we see is superintendents and then principals and teachers who understand that these are resources to them, they create a much more holistic environment where the social-emotional, the non-academic needs are being met and aligned with the drive towards driving academic outcomes. For poor kids, this is a particularly transformative environment, and schools become sanctuaries where they're getting hot meals. They're getting often access to food and clothing and shelter through the school, mental health services, outreach to their parents. And many of our site coordinators are bilingual, and they can reach out into the community and make school a place where parents can participate and become part of the education of their children in ways that they may not have experienced when they were growing up as young people.
And you've seen this where the school, far from being something that you want to skip or be absent from, that families and students particularly are drawn to the school suddenly.
Absolutely. I remember I was recently in March out at one of our schools in Los Angeles, Manual Arts. I remember being toured around the school by a young man who was a freshman. And he told me very explicitly that he comes to the school every morning at 6:30. His mother drops him off on her way to work. She's working a couple of jobs. And because of that school having a holistic place where he is both academically successful, but he's in lots of extracurricular activities, a communities and schools site coordinator is building a relationship with him and opening up horizons and imagining what he can do during the summer in terms of job shadowing. And he gets connected to a tutor and some mentors. So the school is a place he very much looks forward to. And he said to me that he really enjoys coming to school so much so that he doesn't really care for the food because he loves his mom's cooking, that he will actually go hungry until about 6:30 when she can pick him up on the way home from work because he loves being at school so much. He could go home and get a meal, but he prefers to forego the nutrition to be able to be in this environment that is just so kind of fulfilling and nourishing to him.
Daniel Cardinale, president of Communities in Schools, thanks so much.
Great being with you, John.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.